Today is the last day of the last Sunday of 2021. When we come here next week, we will be looking at a new year. And every year, I like to take this day, this last day of the year, first day of the week, to lead us to thinking about the brevity of life. This year went by quickly. I think most of us would agree that it was a very momentous year. A lot of things happened in this year. And yet, it's one more period bringing us closer to meeting the Lord. I'd like to talk a little bit about the similarities of cookies in the oven, a football game, the birth of a child in our life. Can you see the similarity? The cookies in the oven are timed. They go in as dough. They come out, if properly timed, perfectly ready to eat. A football game is a one-hour period in which two teams are trying to win the game. The birth of a child gives us 18 years to mold them and prepare them for the success of the future. And the same thing is true with our lives. We are to be living our lives looking toward the end. The cookie, the football game, the birth of a child, and our life are all directed toward the final end and what it will be. Which team will win? Which cookie will taste good? You say, well, those are pretty insignificant. Which child will grow up to be faithful to God and prepared to be successful in life? And how many of us will spend eternity with God in heaven? And so these are the similarities that we need to think carefully about. And as we look at this year, are we looking at it, thinking about the end? Did this year, if I'm still raising children, bring me one step closer with those 18 years to preparing my children to love the Lord with all their heart and to be prepared and successfully live their life? And so as we consider this, I want to look at a passage that emphasizes this with our life. Again, the reason the dough goes in is for the end. The reason the football game is played is for the end. Lord, make me to know my end. And what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am? We're just temporary. We're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then passes from the earth. We don't even know if we will make it through this year. Verse 5, indeed you have made my days as handbreadths. My age is as nothing before you. Certainly every man at his best state is but vapor. Surely every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. And now, O Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. There's something about the end of a year. For most people in this culture, they look back and they look forward. They look back to consider, did I use this year well? And then they look forward, will I use next year better? But if we don't know our end, if we don't realize that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that comes the judgment, and Jesus says, I want you to be like men who are waiting for their master and working hard every moment. So again, as we look back on this year, did we use it well as parents? Did we use it well as Christians? Did we use it well as working with the lost? Did we bring things into a better state? And this is just so important because we need to be reflecting on these things. God wants us to to look toward the end. You know, you can get so caught up day by day by day that you lose sight of the overall goal of what we're trying to accomplish in this life. And this particular time of the year gives us an opportunity to take stock. And so if we want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, we have to make plans for it. It isn't just going to happen. We have to break up our lives into years and set goals. This year, I'm going to, and then whatever it is, I'm going to get better at prayer. I'm going to read the Bible all the way through this year. This year, I'm going to talk to my neighbor about the Lord. I've been wanting to. I need to do it. I didn't do it this year. I need to do it next year. We have to make plans. And not only do we have to make plans, but we have to repent of those things that shouldn't have happened. And so God wants us to break up our line. We have a race to win, a course to finish. And to get there, we all have to learn to know our end, the measure of our days, and how frail we are. And as you look back on this year, and you think about how quickly it went by, you start feeling that sense of frailty. This is a journey with a beginning and an end. And so as we think about the mileposts of a long drive, several people here are going to be taking long drives. And it's always enjoyable to see, okay, we've crossed over this state. Oh, no, now we've got another state with 300 miles. And then we get to zero on that state, and then we start into another state. And that's how life is. Each year is another milepost, and oftentimes in that year, we pass mileposts. We graduate from high school. We get married. We have children. Then the children leave home and we retire. And now we're looking at anniversaries. And so life flows along. Are we using it well? You know, a lot of people look back on their high school years and they just shake their head. I wish I had known then what I knew now and I had made better use of my opportunities. I don't want that to happen to me when this life is over. I don't want to stand before God on the judgment day and say to myself, I wish I knew then what I knew now, because it'll be too late. And that's why this time of year is a good time to reflect on where am I in my journey. Now, the next verse that we want to look at really puts this into perspective. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. As Job said, we came in naked, we will leave naked. The only thing that will matter when we leave is if God remembers us. If God doesn't remember us, we have nothing. If God doesn't look upon us with favor, then we have no more control over anything. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Well, this is the best time to learn that. I mean, when are we going to learn that? Are we going to learn this from our birthdays? Are we going to learn this from our graduation, from our starting work, from our getting married, from our anniversaries? How will we learn this? And I think that it's better to go to the house of mourning, to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men. It helps us to learn this, to number our days. This last year, Richard, he left us. We didn't get, most of us didn't get to go to the funeral because of the COVID problem. But that was an opportunity for me to see my end, for me to understand that one day I will be where he is. Am I ready? Is this something that's in my consciousness, not just at the end of the year, not just at a birthday, but every single day I'm thinking about and numbering my days and realizing I have to get somewhere. And so when we look at this, we need to learn how to number our days. We just spent 365 days out of our lives. What do we have to accomplish? What can you look back and say, this is what we remembered in eternity. How many things did we do this year that have eternal significance? Our spiritual growth, our desire to learn the scriptures, our faithfulness in our worship to the Lord, our ability to take the Lord's Supper in a proper way, the spiritual growth and development, those things that God will remember and praise us for. And so as we think about this, we think about an hourglass. And we start with our lives, all the sand is at the top, and then it starts to flow. And all, as we look at these things, we start numbering our days. Now, every one of us, as we look at these hourglasses, some of them are nearly empty, some of them are nearly full. Each one of us, where are you? Where are you in the hourglass of time? How much time has flowed? What have you done with it? How happy are you with it? If you're not happy with it, when are you going to make some changes so we will be happy with it? And we have to pick a day. I like this day. It's a day we're all dealing with. I mean, if I guess I could preach this lesson on my birthday, but everybody'd be saying, well, it's your birthday. What do we care about that? But on the last day of the year, we're all in the same boat. We've all spent a year. It's gone. We'll never get it back. It was a part of our youth, a part of our middle age, or a part of our old age, because that's how this progresses. And the question we all want to ask ourselves, do I have a heart of wisdom? Do I number my days? Do I know how frail I am? Am I living each day, repenting of my sins immediately because I know how frail I am? One of these glasses is out. And you may think it's this one, but it's not. As God said, this very night, your soul is required of you. So we need to know the time. What do you think Paul means by that? Knowing the time, that it is high time to awake out of sleep. Now, I can read this verse any day. But there's just something about this time of year that's a little more emotional and a little more prepared for us to think about this. It is high time to wake up out of sleep. You know, some of us did sleep through high school. We just played. We didn't apply ourselves. We enjoyed the sports. We enjoyed the friendships. We enjoyed the opportunities, teaching the classes we didn't like so much. Now we look back. I was asleep. Maybe we were asleep when we were raising our children. We didn't take the time to raise them properly. Maybe we were asleep when we should have been developing a close and wonderful relationship with our spouse. Maybe we were asleep when we should have been preparing for eternity. And Paul says, it's high time to wake up. For now, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. How much of that did we do this year? Are you better with your television viewing this year than you were last year? Are you better with your desires to keep your heart pure before the Lord? Did we cast off any works of darkness? And did we put on any armor of light? You know, it's just like the scoreboard, the cooking timer, or a birthday. It's an opportunity to make an assessment. When you put the dough in the microwave or in the oven, you don't stand there and watch it. You just come back every once in a while to look at the timer, counting on the timer to beep so that you know it's time. But we're not going to have anything like that. We don't have a scoreboard. We don't have a cooking timer. What we have is a birthday, and what we have is the passing of the years of our lives. And God says, I want you to have a heart of wisdom. I want you to mark it off. I want you to make goals. I want you to make plans. I want you to look back and make assessments, because I'm going to. On the judgment day, God's going to look at every one of those periods. And if we haven't repented of them, he's going to be asking us, why did you squander? You remember the conversation with the man who had been given the talent and hid it? and started blaming God and saying, well, it's all your fault. And God says, out of your own mouth, I will judge you. And you know something, brethren? He can do that with us as well. So we need to be aware of the time. We're running out of time. Every year, another year has passed. And if we didn't use it wisely, we'll never get that back. We'll never get that opportunity back. And so we have to repent. But you know something? If you repent and then this next year you use it the same way you did this year, isn't that repentance a little hollow? Isn't that something the Lord might want to ask us about? It is high time to wake up. I don't know what your alarm clock looks like, but we use it almost every day, and it is an opportunity. I'm waking up physically. Am I awake spiritually? Do I need to be more awake? Are there opportunities that I'm not taking advantage of? Are there responsibilities that I'm not shouldering? Are there any weak that I should be working with? Are there any opportunities for hospitality that I didn't buy up? Are there any opportunities to learn the scriptures better, or to give a word of comfort to someone, or to talk to the Bible, or talk the Bible to someone? It's high time to wake up, because we need to think about, did you set any goals, first of all? Did you set any goals this year, this past year? You know, Paul says, forgetting what lies behind and stretching forward to what lies ahead. How do you do that? How do you stretch forward? How do you push yourself to reach as far as you can? Well, there's only one answer. Make plans, and then you rush to meet them. And as soon as you meet them, you make new plans, and you rush to meet them. And so we have to assess, did we make any goals? Are we just meandering through life? Or are we intent? I don't box the air, Paul says. I buffet my body and bring it into bondage. We need to repent of those things we failed to do. Paul says, forget those things that lie behind, but you can't forget them until you've taken care of them, because they'll come back to you. And then we need to start thinking about the wisdom and the advice that God has given His people. And so things like a time to be born and a time to die. Brought nothing in. Certain we can't carry anything out. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment day. Is that our philosophy? Is this news to us? Wow, I forgot about that. I've just been enjoying life, watching my television programs and doing my hobbies and making my money and spending my money on myself and just enjoying life. Isn't that what God wants me to do as a Christian? Well, that's not what Jesus came here to do. Jesus did not come here for the purpose of enjoying life. He came here to worship God, to honor God, to serve God, and to do God's will. And He would like us to do the same thing. And as this year passed, January 1st, it looked like this one. Now, it's this one. For a lot of us, as our hair grays, we start seeing a whole life like that. Most of the sand is gone. As we look, 80 years. Now, our culture, we're really blessed. Many people live beyond 80. But most of the people who live beyond 80 don't live beyond 80 with the same abilities to worship and serve God as they did when they were younger, because they don't have the strength to be able to do that. Let us lay aside every weight. Now, if you didn't do that last year, make plans to do it this year. There's things that are hindering us. There's guilt that we have over things that have happened that need to be set aside. There is sin that besets us that needs to be repented of, so that we can run with endurance the race that is set before us. If we're not going to do that now, when are we going to do it? You going to wait till you're 70? You going to wait till you're 80? Well, there's time. There may not be time. But even if there is time, I don't think the Lord's going to be happy with those of us who say, I'm just going to kind of float along until the last hour, and then I'm going to really get busy because I want the Lord to see me as a faithful individual. If we want to have a heart of wisdom. So let's just stop at this point in the lesson. Do you have a heart of wisdom? Do you number your days? Do you have plans and goals? Do you assess them? Do you repent to God? Not just on the last day of the year, but almost every day of the year. Lord, I didn't quite reach what I want to reach, but I'm going to keep struggling with it. I want to conquer these things. I want to do these things. I want to stand before you using your grace to do as much as I can myself. Here's some more words of wisdom. It's appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. Why would the Lord tell us that? Because he loves us? Because it's true? Because some people are going to be weeping and gnashing their teeth. Some people are going to be in agony because they almost made it, but they didn't. One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on to the goal. Do we have any goals? Paul had goals. Jesus had goals. Let us lay aside every weight. And we've already looked at that verse, but just consider it. As I said, this is the time of year when we think about things like this, when people are making New Year's resolutions, when they're looking back on the past and deciding they want to do better in the future. We can use that as God's people because Jesus expects a sense of urgency in his people. He expects goal setting. He expects us to be pressing on. He expects us to feel poorly that we didn't do as much as we should do. Matter of fact, what did he say? When you've done all you could do, you still need to say we're unprofitable servants. We've only done our duty. You just can't go above and beyond in your relationship with God, but you can try. Let your waist be girded, your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. That's what the heart of wisdom brings to us. That's why he says, help me to know how frail I am. Help me to understand that I am just here temporarily and that you have all authority. And Jesus has expectations. Now, if he came back yesterday, would he find you like that? If he came back in 2021, would he have found us like that? We say, well, I'm not real sure. Make a goal. Next year, when you hear a sermon like this, you can say, I've made progress. You know, those of you who are in this congregation, you've heard this sermon 9 times. Next week, we start our 10th year together. We start the 10th year that we've been working together. 9 full years. You've heard this lesson. Are you the same? Have you changed? Does it matter? Do you know how to number your days? Are you? And these aren't for me. These are for God. These are for you. These are for our eternal life, for our stewardship with the Lord. And so, another year's gone. Did we spend it? It's been spent. I guess the better question is, did we spend it well? Are we happy with what we accomplished this year? And I hope we would all say, well, no, I'm not happy. But I'm doing more now. As Paul said, it's an upward call. We're going higher and higher and higher. And hopefully every year, our knowledge is a little better. Our prayer lives are a little better. Our worship, our singing and our praying and our giving and our partaking of the Lord's Supper and our listening to sermons, it's getting better and better and more the way the Lord would like for it to be. So, whoops. Before we leave this year, we need to make this assessment. I think this verse is very important. I think about it often. When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity, and dies in it, it is because of the iniquity which he has done that he dies. Again, when a wicked man turns away from the wickedness which he committed and does what is lawful and right, he preserves himself alive. Because he considers and turns away from all the transgressions which he committed, he shall surely live. Well, so where are we right now? Are we the righteous person who's slipping back into sin, or are we the sinner who is becoming more righteous? That's an interesting question. It's an important question. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Those things don't happen overnight. You're not a faithful servant, and then suddenly you're gone. It's a slow progression, and you can see it. You can see it coming. You know right now whether your relationship with the Lord is as strong as it's ever been or as weak as it's ever been. And if we're going to make some changes, we have to set goals. Otherwise, you can hear this sermon 100 times and it will never, ever change anything. But God has given this information so that it will change things. And we can grow in it. There's no one here, I don't care how old we are and how well we're doing, who couldn't be doing better. Or at least that's what I would hope our attitude would be. You know, that one I've already dealt with, so let's... I liked Richard. He was a humble man. He looked back on his life with shame. He was not happy with many of the decisions he made. He was constantly confessing and repenting. He had a humble heart. And he's gone. But better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. Do we look at it like that? Do you? I won't say enjoy. Do we benefit from going to a funeral more than we benefit from going to a party? That's what the Ecclesiastes writer has said. That wasn't supposed to come out that way. The turnover was supposed to come later. I hope you can see. This is an etch-a-sketch. If you turn it over and shake it, what happens? It's gone. All of these people, except for one, have passed from the earth. You know, we watch these shows and we fall in love with them. They're our friends. But they've been dead a long time. This show aired 60 years ago. That's when this show was done. I Love Lucy, we go back another 10 years. And it is incredible. These people are all dead. Their lives, it's Ecclesiastes in a nutshell. That we're only here for a little while. These people that we liked, but they're all gone. They're all dead. Their lives are finished. And the decisions that they have made will go with them into eternity. And so will ours. Then we look at isn't that neat? That's a sandcastle. Somebody built it out of sand. You've seen it before. I have a sermon on it that I preach. Our hopes for 2022, but the reality of 2021 is that everything we did this year is now, it's gone. And only those things that we've done for God will be remembered and will be rewarded for. Everything else, it's just been used. It's gone. And you know something? A few years after we're gone, there won't be any trace of us. And when our last child and grandchild and great-grandchild who knew us dies, there'll be a stone in a cemetery that says, "Here lies me, born, died." Wonder who that was. Wonder what kind of life they had. Wonder what their life was about. I wonder what they did. I wonder if there's anything, any legacy at all that will continue on. And the only answer is, well, if they serve God, there is. But if we didn't serve God, we're going to be just like the sandcastle. You know, you come back the next day, if the tides come in and gone out, it's gone. Can't even see it. It's like it was never there. 2021 is like that. 2020 was like that. 2019, 2018. I mean, we can all go back in our mind. What did I do? You know, a lot of times you say, what'd you do in 2015? I don't know. Now, if you graduate in 2015, you say, well, that's the year I graduated. Or if you got married in 2015, well, that's the year I got married. But if you didn't do those two things, the point I'm trying to make is, brethren, that we need to understand something. God is the only one who can remember what we've done. And he tells us, if you serve me, I will remember. And not only will I remember, but I will reward you. I will praise you. What an honor that God has offered to us. We can't afford to squander it. This year is gone. Can't go back and change anything now. But your life is not gone. We can still make changes in the future. But if we squandered this year, it's a pretty good chance we'll do the same next year. And the next year. And the next year. And the life will be squandered. So at some point in our life, we need to be brought up short. And ask ourselves some of these questions. And like I say, I think this is a good time of the year to do it. Now, there's some people in the audience who this isn't the right time. They're just not ready to hear this yet. And then there's others who are really feeling it right now and saying to themselves, I'm going to do better. You know, we have a song in our songbook. I was going to ask the song leader to lead it, but I forgot to, so it doesn't really matter. As the life of a flower, as a breath or a sigh. You know, those are all in the scriptures. So the years that we live, as a dream, hasten by. True, today we are here, but tomorrow may see just a grave in a veil and a memory of me. You know, but the sad thing about that memory is that as each person dies, Jeannie was talking to her father, and he said, He's 91. She said, you're going to go to your reunion this year. He said, I don't know if anybody's left. I don't think anybody's left. Have any family members? No. I told him the other day, if you want anybody to remember anything you've done, you better tell me about them so I can talk to them at your funeral. But then it's going to go away. When Jeannie dies and her sisters die, and our children die, George Garrison will mean nothing to anyone. It'll just be a name, just like so many names on so many graveyards and so many headstones. If God doesn't remember, we've got nothing. Our life was meaningless, just squandered, wasted on herself. As the life of a flower, as a breath or a sigh, so the years glide away, and alas, we must die. Help me to know how frail I am. Teach me to number my days so I will have a heart of wisdom. Help me to recognize the sands of time, the alarm clock. It's time to wake up. As the life of a flower starts out so beautiful, then it starts to wilt, and that's me, and that's you. Now, you may look like that right now. I used to look like that. I was telling Jeannie this morning, I have all of my driver's licenses so I can go back and see myself. And I look at myself and I say, what happened? What happened to this young, strong guy here? Well, who's that staring out at the mirror at me? And you know, I never thought this was going to happen, but now here I am. And you don't think it's going to happen, but there's only one other alternative, and that is that you're not here at all. We're going to get old. We're going to die. Teach me to number my days. Help me to make goals, annual goals, life-changing goals. They all need to be made before it's too late. So, as we look at 2022, and I'll have another lesson. I was going to do it tonight, I may still, but I think that maybe I'll leave it for a week so you guys can think carefully about what you've heard today, and then maybe we'll be ready to set some goals. But we need to learn what our sins are and get rid of them. We need to get rid of those sins of omission and start doing them. We need to add to our faith. We need to learn how to pray. We need to remove our sins of commission, the ones we know about, the youthful lust that we can't quite break. We need to be fighting them with all of our heart. And so, brethren, as we leave this lesson behind us, as we leave this year behind us, decisions need to be made. If you don't make any changes now, when 2022 ends, you'll be, soul, you are drifting along on the tide. Where will you be when you anchor at night? Remember that song? I haven't sung it in years. Time is moving. are we moving with it? That's the question we all need to ask ourselves. And as we open up our song of encouragement and we sing the song of invitation tonight or today, we need to take stock. Anything need to change? If it needs to change, make the decision now. Set the goal now. Write it down so you remember it and look at it and make some changes. Otherwise, as I said, when you stand before God on the judgment day, the Lord's going to say, you heard the sermon, and here's how you felt when you heard it, but you never did anything. I don't want to be that person. If I can help you, or if we can help you in any way, by either obeying the gospel today or confessing a sin that has been on your heart for far too long, leave it behind with 2021 and start 2022 ready to run, ready to move. If we can help you in any way, please let us know while we extend a second.